don't, I'm probably having trouble getting full jumps back.
Okay.
If need be, I will just keep trying at various points and maybe even later on in the program.
Yeah.
Need be.
That's fine.
But you have brief war with them, so you can kind of summarize the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay.
Bourgeois, are you there? Can you hear me? Okay, we're just going to keep you on the line. Okay? We're going to keep you on the line. We're getting ready to start the presentation, but just stay on the line, okay? And we'll get to you in a bit. Okay? Thanks. Okay, I'm just going to make one more test here. Hold on a second. Options, and then I'm going to want you to say something in just 1 minute. Okay, and then we're going to switch the speakers over here. Okay, say. Okay, can you say something? Can you talk? Are you talking? Hello? Okay, let me just switch the speakers back. We're just going to have to relay what you're saying. Tools, options, audio settings, speakers. Okay, can you hear me, Kozan? Okay, that's fine. We'll just have to relay what you're saying. So let me just get the slide thing up because I need Davi to be able to start. So just hold on the line. Stay absolutely as you are, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is David, Gheru David. I am a Unitarian minister from Transylvania and the deputy bishop of our Hungarian Unitarian Church in Eastern Central Europe. But I'm here in my capacity of the president of the ICUU to welcome you all and to introduce you our workshop focusing on an ICUU brand that grew out of our own experiences working internationally with our partners, the International Unitarian Universalist Coalition, as one specific way to support the growth and vitality of our groups all over the world. I recommend you the words of my predecessor and our colleague, the Reverend Brian Kiley. Unitarianism is not really a global faith. Rather, it is a collection of indigenous expressions of the liberal religious spirit. That truth, combined with varying economic, educational, and political conditions around the globe, make international Unitarian ministry challenging indeed. I invite my colleague friend, Reverend Jill McAllister, to explain how challenging is that actually?
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I would like to first just find out how many of you have had any kind of international engagement. I'm assuming most of you. I know some of you aren't Americans, but most of you are. Have you had engagement through UUA programs, partner church programs? Just let me see a head count. So the variety of you. I would love to hear from people. just a little bit about what you think the benefits of engaging internationally are and some of the challenges that you've experienced. What are some of the benefits and the challenges from your perspective? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have for the last 12, 15 years, I'm with the First Unitarian Church here.
Okay.
And our connection has been very difficult because of the political and et cetera.
Right.
We were able to make connections and send groups there many times over the last 12 years. The new...
I'll repeat.
The new Obama move has opened up for us to be able to do a lot more service connections.
Right. Right.
Through our church, which would never been able to happen without our organization.
Right. So First Church in Portland has had a connection with Unitarians in Cuba for 12 or 15 years. They are there. There's not really quite an organization. But, of course, one of the major challenges is political. So, international engagement is not just sweet and beautiful. We have to deal with the realities of the world, and sometimes that means making some amazing kinds of changes and sacrifices in how we do things. Yes. Would you use the microphone? That might be helpful.
They're recording this, and if people don't use the mic...
Right. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Do you have, come on up and say some of the benefits or challenges that you've experienced. You can come barefooted. It's really fine.
I'm talking because Ellen didn't want to. Do you want me to be facing you?
It doesn't matter.
So anyways, three of us, we're with Tapestry UU in Mission Viejo, California, and those two particularly, they helped organize and start the Friends of the OC Detainees. So in terms of our experience internationally, it's working with asylum seekers also, not mm-hmm. just regular detainees, but also asylum seekers. And particularly Ellen has worked consistently with a lot of individuals from Ghana and trying to help them get... what happens is they come to the border and they don't know that if they ask for asylum, they're going to end up in a detention center.
Right.
And so they come and they have no idea, especially the individuals from Ghana. You have different levels of education and so forth. So we are working not only in a visitation program where we simply visit, but also sometimes you do begin to help them in order to get the documentation and so forth that they need to be released. And especially for a situation like Ghana, they don't automatically provide travel documentation. So what happens is they get stuck in this limbo. But in doing this visitation program with the detainees, we learn a lot about the internationals. And we have all different countries of people coming here and seeking asylum and
right.
being detained. So that's
right.
our experience.
Okay. So working with asylum and with immigration and things like that is very challenging, the legal situation and people's specific life situations. Thank you. What else have people experienced? Yes. Can you come up here and share a little bit at the microphone? Thanks.
So I don't have a congregational perspective because mm-hmm. our congregation doesn't yet have an international involvement program.
Okay.
But when I was younger, I lived abroad for mm-hmm. a number of years, and the experience of having that sort of in-depth exposure to another culture gives you a different world map. It
right.
gives you a completely different notion. You question your own society's
right.
taboos and mores and such. And
right.
so just, I would sort of speak for the whole international experience and what a wonderful thing it is, for
right.
particularly for youth.
Absolutely. So when you go to other places, live in other places, you realize that what you think about the world is not just the only truth about the way things are. Life is more complicated. Go ahead.
I would say that spending time with Unitarians in other countries is a kind of a similar thing with that. It makes you re-examine your own faith,
right.
our own version of
right.
our faith. And so it's very enriching and broadening, but, you know, it can be a little
right.
challenging.
Right.
And I think for me, the major challenge of doing this is being sufficiently culturally sensitive.
Right.
I mean, it's so easy to step
right.
over lines that you don't even see are there.
Right. So finding that there are different perspectives in the world makes you have to look at your own perspective and follow one of my mantras, which is don't ever be so sure that the way you think things are is the way things are. And learning to navigate cultural differences is a huge part of the work of this work. A couple more, one more here.
Hi, I am from First Unitarian Church of Dallas, and we've been very active with the UU United Nations office, their program that helps educate children at risk in a very small community in Ghana. And at any one time, there's over 100 students that wouldn't be going to school at all. And as a result, several of them have graduated over the last 9 years. And another organization has been founded to help those people if they cannot get into university, because you have to pass a test, to help them get into vocational school as well. Mm-hmm. So it's helping people come from, and we have actually visited the community where there is one water faucet for the entire community, mm-hmm. to where they have a viable way to have income. Mm-hmm. And great. I think we're also have been involved with the churches in Uganda through our youth program, where they've exchanged and done Skyping and exchanged letters and cards. And it's been very empowering for our youth to be exposed.
Okay, great. Just a couple more short things. We want to get into this subject, but I just want us to get a sense of we're getting a sense of the many ways people are engaging internationally, which is great. Go ahead.
I want to mention, my daughter and I both have a lot of international interests, but something that's a really interesting model that she got to participate in at First Unitarian in Denver, that the Mountain Desert District does for ninth grade youth, is a program of a year's worth of cultural orientation and preparation, followed by a 10-day visit to the Navajo and Hopi nations.
Beautiful.
And we have a very long-standing relationship with them, and the kids get to do things. They stay at the Navajo and Hopi schools and actually get to go to dances that are closed to outsiders.
Beautiful. Lovely. Thank you. So these two more people who are in the aisle, and then we'll do a few other things. Go ahead.
I'm from the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Frederick, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And most recently, we have one person in our congregation actually spearheaded this. We've worked with Rotary International to do the geological surveys that were required, and then to finally dig a well in the middle of the Maasai Mara, which is a very dry area of Kenya, to provide water for about 13 villages in the area. We also support a young Kenyan woman who is a second-year student at Moi University studying medicine. Mm-hmm. And I personally have had experience both on the government-to-government level of international development assistance in Kenya, mm-hmm. and elsewhere, and on the non-government level. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to make a gratuitous comment, that is that I think that the non-governmental level is the way that is most effective. Government aid often leaves a big hole when the technical assistants leave the country and there's no follow-up.
Okay, so thank you very much. All right, one more here, thank you.
Hi, I am from the Unitarian Society of Germantown, and I don't know if anyone said this before I came in, but I think the other thing that you might want to think about is not simply international in terms of going to other countries and providing quote-unquote aid or assistance to other countries. I'm actually a foreigner. I'm from Trinidad. But one of the things that we've done at the Unitarian Society of Germantown is my family comes in and we do a whole big Hindu New Year celebration, because that's one of the things that we celebrate. So I think part of the inherent dignity and worth of other people is really appreciating who's in your backyard, because often you don't even have to go across the world. You can literally go across the street to find international connections. Just a little quick story. Because we've been doing this for like 7 years, one of the women in my church actually visited Nepal recently, and she was asking about some drawings that they had on the building, and they said, oh, well, that's for Diwali. And so she said, oh, I know all about that holiday. And all of a sudden, there was just this instant connection between her and the people there, because we bring the culture outside into our congregation, which is, I think, a big deal.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, this is a great start to recognize that, in fact, there's a lot of international engagement going on in UU congregations in the United States and Canada, for sure. We're learning a lot. We're trying to be sensitive. We're being changed. That's true. And all of these things are great. Today, on behalf of the ICUU, the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists, we want to tell you a little bit about one of our main programs, which is an opportunity for new or different kind of engagement for your congregation, to tell you a little bit about what we've learned and something that you may be interested in. We it has emerged through the work that we do. Now, the International Council of Unitarians and Universalists is the network of all the Unitarian organizations around the world. It's not based here in the United States. The UUA, we are one member, along with the Hungarian Unitarian Church and the Unitarian Union of Northeast India and the German Unitarians and the British Unitarians. It's the network of organizations. The focus of the ICUU is mutual support and aid among Unitarian organizations in the world. We are there to help each other be viable, sustainable Unitarian organizations to have an impact everywhere we live. And so knowing each other, working together, understanding the similarities and differences among Unitarians around the world has helped every group begin to have more confidence, have more of an impact where we live. One of the programs that emerged in the ICUU, since we respond, we're the group that responds mostly to emerging groups of UUs in the world, it's become clear that a lot of help is needed when, for example, in Kenya or Uganda or Egypt or Indonesia or wherever someone writes or contacts us and says, okay, I want to be a Unitarian or I am a Unitarian. How do I make a group here? Our response has, one of the things that has emerged is putting together coalitions of congregations and individuals to focus on supporting an emerging group wherever it may emerge. So some of this, first our experience came out of the UUA Partner Church Program, where there were, you know, congregation to congregation partnerships and a lot of getting to know each other. And then as we looked at emerging groups around the world, we realized that some groups are not in any way ready to engage in partnership because they're not even viable organizations. And to set them up with an American partner who may, you know, be 100 years old and have huge systems in place often was not the right way to go to help. So the Mentoring Coalition program is to put together groups of people in both places. So where we've been, where these coalitions are really growing around now are in two places in Africa. I'll start with the Francophone East African Coalition. Emerging UU congregations in Burundi, Rwanda, Congo Brazzaville, a little bit in Tanzania, needed help and advice. And so we put together a coalition of non-African congregations, American, some Transylvanian, to work all together with a focus of the organizational development and sustainability of the Francophone East African groups. So in the process of looking at how we can all work together based on their needs in Francophone East Africa, how we can all work together, of course we get to know each other. Of course there are congregational contacts, but congregational connections isn't the primary goal. They do happen. The primary goal is how we can all work together to help grow and sustain an emerging group so that they can then come into this whole world network and be a viable part because everybody has something to bring. So the first one we put together was working with a group, this Francophone East African group, and they're, you know, right around here. Burundi is a very, very small country, but with a very now strong congregation. And a lot of the ideas for this work came from, this vision came from the person who's the minister of the Bujumbura Burundi congregation. His name is Fulgence Ndagijimana. And he's going to, we have him on Skype.
we think.
Yep. So speaking from Burundi, and he's going to say a little bit about his vision for the coalition and a little bit about how things are in Burundi and why this coalition has been important to him, especially at this time. So Fulgence.
Can you hear me? Fulgence? Fulgence? Okay, we're going to have to, the microphone if we're going to, okay. Okay, can you say something so we can hear, whether people can hear you? Say something.
I can hear you, Steve.
Can you hear over the system? Right. Okay. Fulgence, you're now addressing maybe 100 people from all over the EU.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
They say hi back.
Hi, everyone.
They said hi back, Fulgence. Go ahead and talk. Are you there?
Do you want me to introduce myself?
Yes. Oh, yes. Jill already introduced you. You say whatever you'd like to say, and then tell us about the coalition and Francophone, and also maybe a bit about the current situation in Burundi, because, of course, we're all concerned about events there.
Okay, it's good to speak to you every dual there, and to know that you are keeping Burundi in your heart.
Oh, we've just lost him.
We know it's tenuous.
It's a very challenging situation.
So we're going to... Right, and then I'll let Michael say a little bit. So the coalition working with Burundi has been a huge form of support, not only for their development. This is a congregation working very hard to try to help establish foundations for civil society in their own country. And you probably know that they're still at the brink of civil war. And even Fulgence said, even at the moment, the government is pushing to have these elections, and grenades are being detonated around the city, and it's a very hard thing. And the Unitarians have continued to meet every week except for one, and have been very closely in touch with the members of their non-African coalition to know that they're getting support, they have connections, that they're not alone doing this. So I want to introduce the Reverend Michael Leuchtenberger, who's the minister at the Concord, New Hampshire congregation here. And his congregation is one of the members of the Francophone East African Coalition, to tell you a little bit about what it has meant for his congregation and for his ministry to be part of this kind of work.
Great. Thanks, Jill. I grew up in Germany, so the idea of engaging internationally comes natively in a certain way. And the first experience I had coming to Burundi about 3 years ago, you know, everybody was calling me Muzungar, Muzungar, and I went, "What? That's not my name. I'm Michael." But everybody was just calling me that, and you can see on my T-shirt, I ended up buying one of those ultimately in Kenya, because I guess it's Swahili and shared. And what that word means is, well, at least Fulgence, I remember translating that. It was used for white people, and generically used for white people because it translates as person who bosses other people around. And so that's funny in many ways, but it's also a really good reminder, I think, of the humility that is required in engaging this kind of work and the kind of legacy that we are up against when we show up in any international work. And so it's been really... One of the things our congregation in Concord has been involved with is the resettlement of refugees for quite a few years. And we've been engaged in forming circles around refugee families as they arrive, sometimes right from the airport. We welcome them, form circles of, you know, sort of an extended larger family, multi-generational, and then journey with them, introduce them to American or US life. And a few of those families have been from Burundi. And so we've been making connections in our New Hampshire world here with the Burundi population for quite a few years before we even got this invitation to participate. So I think that's been a really wonderful way to extend our experience with the local population who we've been, you know, connecting with and inviting. And then I got to go, and that really gave credibility too to our church's involvement. You know, suddenly the Burundis that we've worked with, they came to me and wanted to hear the news of the country. You know, and so we've been able to bring in multicultural events with drumming and food and dancing and all that kind of stuff. And it's been really phenomenal to suddenly have, you know, 100 plus Burundis in our sanctuary mixing with our predominantly Caucasian, you know, church population. And so that's been a deepening experience of multicultural dimension here. Our congregation doesn't have a partner church, and I don't know that we are ready to sort of take on the major role of playing a partner role here. We have a lot of other focus areas, but being able to participate in this coalition through sort of contact light is the wrong way to say it, because it's not light, it goes deep. And you know, Fulgence came to speak to us, and his foundation, the Dutabari Foundation, that he might have talked about in a moment, you know, which supports children in the area and really helps them grow throughout. 10 people signed up, you know, on the spot and wanted to be involved. And then now the situation just before the elections, we were able to suddenly raise $800 out of nowhere because for the emergency fund. And one day he was supposed to come preach about 2 years ago, and then wasn't able to do that. We had him preach through Skype in a similar way. We piped him right into the sanctuary onto our screen. And it happened to be the very same week that the central fire happened in the central market in Bujumbura. And you know, our collection always goes out to a community cause, so we don't ever collect that for ourselves. And so on the spot, again, we were able to translate our concern for these people that we are now in relationship with into a $2,000 support, you know, that we were able to channel through the ICUU to help them out there. So it's been a way to really connect our congregation to this larger world of Unitarians out there. And personally, you know, it's been a reminder how Unitarian Universalism in this country has its flavor. And when you go to Germany, or you go to the UK, or you go to Bujumbura or Burundi, you know, it has its other, a very different flavor. And sometimes I think it's easier to accept that there's diversity and celebrate that diversity when you go to another country and you go, yeah, of course it's different, right? Because it's a different culture. And so for me personally, it's been a reminder to go, well, why wouldn't I celebrate that same kind of diversity with Unitarians nearby or Universalist congregations nearby, and accept that and look for that, both look for the similarities, but also look for the diversity there. It's been a great way to connect with some other congregations, you know, throughout the non-African world, and so that's been really helpful. Is there anything else you want me to say here? Let me see. No, I think I'll stop and see if there's any other questions later on.
We'll have a chance to do that. So two things about this coalition process that Michael has been describing. One is that in addition to getting involved in some service and learning in a different country, those of us who have been in congregations, I'll say on the American side, we've begun to work together with other American congregations. So there were 5 ministers from Michigan to Massachusetts and New Hampshire. We became in much more constant contact about this coalition work, and then we began sharing things about our ministries in general. So that's a benefit of coalition work that wasn't part of the plan. It wasn't just about international work. We American Unitarians began working more closely together. The other thing that I think is really important to note is that all of the issues that have been mentioned here, immigration, water, poverty, things like that, that we are interested to engage in internationally, there are Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists living, being, are those people. And from the perspective of the ICUU, it would be fabulous if more Unitarians, let's say Unitarian Universalists in the United States, could do that work in ways that supports Unitarian Universalism. Because if Unitarian Universalists don't help support the viability of Unitarian Universalism, who will? And millions of people can support this good work on poverty and water and all that everywhere in the world, but who will help the viability of Unitarian Universalism? So this coalition work gets us involved in all of these issues with and for Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists, and so in some ways with and for our own strength and viability, because we are small everywhere in the world, and we need those connections. So that's an added point. So the coalition in Francophone East Africa is, we can say it's up and running, and it changes according to what the needs are. This was a planning meeting. Members of the North American side went to Burundi, Rwanda. We met. We came up with a two-year plan for the coalition work. What were the things they were looking at for their own organization? And each of the congregations said, oh, my congregation can do this part, and my congregation can do this part. And it was shared around. Very close on the heels was the beginning of a coalition to support an emerging group of Unitarians in Kenya. Completely different cultural, political context. Completely different kind of emerging Unitarianism. It's taken a while, several years, but that coalition is forming, and Steve Dick, our executive director, has been working with it. He's going to tell you a bit about that. And we're looking for North American congregations who might be willing to join that coalition to help support the development of Unitarianism in Kenya. So Steve, you want to say a bit more about that?
Yes, just to begin with a few comments about this coalition thing. It's kind of hard to describe sometimes because it's not so much a model as an approach. Every place that we do it, it comes a different way. And indeed, the original impetus of the idea came from Fulgence Nadjimani, to look at that particular context and that particular situation. So it's evolving in many different ways. The important aspect, I think, that sets it apart is it is, as Jill said, specifically to reach out to Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist communities around the world. It's not any more important than the wonderful work that's being done in very many other countries, work in service learning, work in with educational institutions, work with poverty relief, all those things. But this particular thing is about addressing and supporting Unitarians and Unitarian Universalist communities. And it's also not something that's not done in isolation. ICUU speaks about it and talks about it, but the Unitarian Universalist Partner Church Council has been involved in, for example, in Kenya, the International Office of the UUA, the Hungarian Unitarians are becoming involved in this. It's really a way to network and bring people together involved in various different ways. And it's really about enablement and empowerment rather than about bringing particular help or knowledge. In fact, in some ways, we learn more from them than they learn from us. I think one of the things that's really important that comes, and in fact, I think in a lot of the work we do around the world, is providing self-confidence. People look at the resources and the experience and the history in the United States and elsewhere, and they think they don't have as much to offer. And so it's not about teaching them how to fish. It's letting them teach us how to fish, to use the parable. Now, we're talking about here about Kenya, which we've been working on. And these things take time. They're not very fast. We began, what was it about? Is it almost 5 years ago now with Kenya? working with the Partner Church Council and also partially funded by the International Office of the UUA. With this group you see here, there are six groups in Kenya. We hesitate to really call them congregations. Perhaps the closest parallel in terms of North America is to look at them as kind of like house churches in some of the evangelical groups. And we brought them together for a capacity building workshop. Many of you will know this is an important part of the work of the Partner Church Council. So it's a way that we're coming together. And I want to illustrate just a little bit about this Kenyan situation and the group by talking through what we call the five guiding principles of Unitarian Universalist International Engagement. And these five guiding principles were actually authored by the Reverend Eric Cherry from a grouping of the ICUU, the International Office of the UUA, and the Partner Church Council, looking at trying to see that the work that we do around the world is really grounded in the best of our Unitarian Universalist faith, because that's particularly what we have to offer. Firstly, the first one, and I just might say if you become interested in this, there's a whole webinar that has Eric Cherry participating, Jill, Kathy Cordes, and myself on the UUA, on the ICU website, so you can learn more about this. One, our international engagement must emerge from a place of deep humility and intentionally seek relationships based on equality and mutuality. In this work, we come together as congregations. For example, in the Kenyan work, it's the congregation in Albuquerque, New Mexico at the moment is involved, and also First Church Toronto. We come together in what I think is the best of what has been the Partner Church Council movement as equals in a sense of mutuality. We have things to share, but it's not that we are the people that can fix them, that can help them. We are the people that can be together and work together at trying to grow and develop. We have things to offer. We do leadership seminars sometimes. We share worship materials. But the key thing is that we bring these not to put a stamp on them, not to say they should become like the UUA or they should become like the British Unitarians, but for them to take this as possibilities and examples and develop it in terms of their own particular situation. And it's very different. Very, very different. This is the Unitarians in Kisii, who their church is the trees. That's where they worship. And it creates a totally different context. It's not just a matter of taking what we do and sharing it with them. It's sitting together and helping them to discover what is appropriate for their own context, which, of course, is what is best in terms of our own work as well. The second principle, our international engagement is most effective when it comprehends the abundance and variety of resources our congregations and international partners already have. And those of you that have traveled and visited Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist groups in other countries will probably join me in being impressed at what we find. There is a level of passion, for instance, that I rarely see among North American Unitarian Universalists or elsewhere. There is a love, there is a concern, there is an involvement. I was struck one time by an American visitor that asked a group in Kenya whether they had any kind of social justice program. And they looked at them kind of blankly and said, well, what's the difference between a social justice program and church? Isn't that what church is all about? So very, very interesting attitudes, and to be aware, as I said, of what they already have to offer us. And this is just an illustration. I don't know if it's a little dark, but this is a project in Ruru, one of the Kenyan groups, where they actually have set up they call it an orphanage, but it's actually more of a daycare facility for children of parents who have AIDS. And it's, again, not a social outreach. It's what that group does. It's partly why they exist. Thirdly, our international engagement is most transformative when it is grounded in faithful reflection, including integration of the history of our international engagement. None of these situations are in isolation. And of course, if you go and read some of the Unitarian and Unitarian Universalist histories, you'll know that there's been a long history of involvement and development of different groups, all over the world, and they have their own history and their own situations and their own issues. And for example, in Kenya, we had various groups that were saying, we're Unitarians and the other people aren't. That's not a situation that we ever expected to be in. But it's a challenge of the way different cultures are. This is another one of the groups. This is a group in Kaoli in the Nairobi area that actually doesn't have a place to meet. They go rent a bit of ground and they rent a tent when they're going to have a meeting. Our international engagement is truest to our highest values when it responds with wisdom and passion to institutional oppression and injustice. There are two things that I might mention here. One is that just because there may be different attitudes about social issues in particular cultures doesn't mean that in supporting them and going along with them that we don't question and challenge attitudes. But it's one in terms of friends, it's one in terms of supporters, and it's also helping them or being with them. You know, this really, I think, wonderful language here transferred from our own tradition about standing on the side of love. It's not going in and speaking for them. It's not going in and speaking in a way that they wouldn't, but standing with them and encouraging them to speak, as has been done in Uganda and in various other areas, about the issues of society that are just as strong in certain areas as we have as well. That's another picture of, well, this is the picture of the group in Mount Kenya that I wanted to show you because it was an illustration of how incredibly different it is. I was taking part in a service and invited to receive the collection. Some of you may have heard me speak about it in a part church council. I said, well, this is something I know how to do, receiving a collection, and talked about receiving it for the work of the church from donations, and sat down only to be made to stand back up, because that's not what they do in this group. In that particular group, they make a collection, they figure out who is the most deserving in need as a person or family, and in the midst of the service, they turn around and present that without any shame or embarrassment. So here's a very, very different situation. So finally, the Unitarian Universalist universe of international programs is incredibly diverse and highly decentralized. As the statement we had from Brian Keeley in the beginning, we are as different as we are in common. We have many things in common to hold us, but we are very, very different in many different ways, and we need to understand that. We need not just to try to see others as just another version of ourselves, but see others as their own individuals with their own culture and their own situation. But as the last part of this says, our international engagement is most comprehensive when we understand and utilize partner organizations well. And I want to stress that just as this kind of approach to working with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists elsewhere is collaborative, is several congregations or groups coming together, the best way we work is not in isolation. ICU itself works most effectively when it works with the UUA International Office and with the Partner Church Council, and that's the best way to do this kind of work. There are all kinds of people with all kinds of involvements, and it's crucial to, when you are involved with something or interested in something, call on Reverend Eric Cherry's office, call on the ICU, call on the Partner Church Council, and let's do it together, because we can be so much more effective when we work together. When we get into the questions and answers, we can answer more details about the Kenya situation and how that's developed, and indeed with the Burundi. But I hope that's enough to give you something of a flavor, and I'll turn it back over to Jill.
So as somebody said, Steve said, this coalition mentoring work is not a model. It's a constantly evolving approach to working together with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists around the world for the health and strength and viability of all these Unitarian groups, so that wherever a group is, they can be strong and effective where they are. We're now looking at coalition support for example, old, venerable, long Unitarian traditions in Europe, where the groups, the organizations, are struggling to survive, because religion is just not, it doesn't have the same kind of draw in Europe, and some of our most cherished historical groups, like in Poland, in Germany, these groups they have some of the same struggles that emerging groups around the world have, and would really welcome a coalition, a group of partners around the world, all focusing with them on their own health and stability in their own local context with their own specific things. There is no one model that we can take around the world and say, here, you know, we'll just train you in this and this and this, and then you'll be great. Because nobody knows, because everyone's cultural and political situation is changing as we work. So it's a very fluid way to work, which requires people to come in and say, let's be in relationship. And we will figure out how to best do this together. And it will, you know, and it will just, it doesn't have an outcome. It has outcomes that are emerging, and we try to meet those outcomes. And just as we meet those outcomes, a new one emerges. So it's an exciting way to be involved. You should really think about it as truly being in an ongoing and growing relationship. So if you're interested in learning more, we would love to begin to build coalitions to work with congregations in Europe. We're just getting back to trying to be in touch with some of the very small Unitarian groups and people in Latin and South America. We're getting a little bit of help from some people there. And we hope as anything emerges there, we might get North American congregations who are interested in that work, especially who have Spanish-speaking folks in their congregation, to be part of doing that as well. What countries are there Unitarians? Yeah, all right, there's the map. I will say there aren't any major groups in South America. There are people in Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, a little in Peru, Cuba. Cuba's up and coming again, Mexico. And so there was a meeting of Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists in Latin and South America 7-8 years ago. That we tried to help each other network, and they literally founded an organization for communication between those Latin and South American groups. But in none of those countries have 2 or 3 people been able to manage putting together and sustaining a meeting, ongoing group of Unitarians. It's politically difficult. It's economically difficult. So what will that look like? You know, it may be engagement with a Latin and South American coalition of its own. So there is lots of exploration about what Unitarianism may look like in that region of the world. But that would be very exciting. So those are some opportunities that you can have. So we want to give some time for a little bit for some questions and answers about this process specifically, about mentoring coalitions, and what you might want to understand a little bit more about this process if you're interested in being involved in it. And so will you use the microphone? I think we'll just do it from here and not go into small groups. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to invite you to turn this around a little bit and talk a little bit more about the effectiveness or the playoff of having, because your emphasis this morning has been on kind of going to Burundi and Kenya and so on. And then, but for example, in the ICUU, Fulgence and leaders and representatives of other communities come to ICUU meetings and gatherings in Europe, in Philippines, and other places,
right.
And how that relates to their ongoing work. I mean, you would think, there are people out there. It's not just, and they, you know, they can argue theology with me. They can do all kinds of really interesting. Right. Bill, I wonder if you could just say.
That's the broader question of the need for an organization like the ICUU. And that's why it was founded 20 years ago. This is our 20th anniversary. To give an opportunity for Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists around the world to meet together as peers, not as big groups and small groups, the groups who know what they're doing and the groups who are hoping to become Unitarian. But for Unitarians and Universalists to meet together as peers, it changes everything all the time. And we can't exactly say what those changes are. When people from around the world meet each other, things happen between them. For example, the Hungarian Unitarian Church and the Unitarian Union of Northeast India, are building connections that neither of them would have imagined. Would have, you know, struck out to say, let's build these connections. But they met each other. They discover similarities in their cultural situations, in their political and social geographic situations, and they are finding ways to help each other. That what each other knows and has to offer is helpful. That comes from simply meeting each other. So ICUU council meetings and symposiums and everything we do that brings people together is always an opportunity. Simply, it's fertile ground. And so it's worth it. For many years, the early years of the ICUU, we operated on very few funds, and the majority of our funds were spent bringing people together every other year. And that's part of what the fertile ground is. I see Steve is right here behind me.
Yes, exactly. I mean, this is in a context, obviously, and very importantly, and not just of ICU work, of partner church relationships, of International Office of the UA, of the Hungarian Unitarian Church is making visits. But this is a key thing coming to these. We have these meetings every 2 years. We had one last year in New York, and I've just put up a slide. The next one is next summer in the Netherlands in July. And I want to say, now, it's important to understand that the ICUU is not an organization of individuals. It's an organization of organizations. The member group from the United States is the Unitarian Universalist Association. The member group from Hungary and Romania is the Hungarian Unitarian Church. But having said that, the ICUU creates opportunities for interested individuals to take part in a lot of its programs. Any individual that can marshal the resources is able to come to this meeting in the Netherlands and to sit with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists from around the world and participate in what is remarkably and often is talked about is not just a convention, not just a conference, but an intentional living experience with people from various cultures around the world. Those of you who have been will know what it's like, that we have chalice circles every day, that we spend a lot of time on person-to-person communication, on eating together, on working together. It's not an academic experience, although we do have these theological symposiums to deal with that, but it's a real opportunity to experience, as Paul said, not just going to these places, but also them coming to us and us being together. And it's not a thing where everybody is from the United States or everybody is from Europe. We consciously try to create an environment where we are all mixed together and none of us are in the majority or dominant.
Go ahead, thank you. Thanks. My name is Joyce Moore, First Parish in Waltham, Massachusetts, and I'm also co-founder of Acacia in Kenya, and we are in the program book. I will point out, just because I'm so excited that we did it, Changing the World One Girl at a Time. I am so excited about this model because, having worked in Kenya since 2005 and not wanting to be the representative of or in front of the UUA or any of the other international organizations associated, I am really thrilled and wondering if there's anything going on in Western Kenya that we can connect with, because I'm going in a week and a half next week.
Great. Talk to Steve before you leave. Go ahead. Thank you.
This is true, I swear. I'm Jim Nall from the UUs of Transylvania County,
right,
in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yes.
The reason I came today is that there was an opinion column in the New York Times 4 or 5 days ago, and the whole point of this column was to encourage people to give more money to international charities as opposed to local organizations. And our church, like I suspect nearly all churches, UU churches, support local charities rather generously, but other than UUSC, do nothing for the international organizations. And so I came to get some thoughts on that. I would also suggest on your principles, the don't of number 4, I personally found very interesting. when it said, don't emphasize or overemphasize immediate charity needs at the ignoring of long-term social justice needs. And I think that probably deserves a workshop of its own at next year's GA.
Right. Very, very good. The thing about building relationships that you can stay in for a long time is they're not about doing a project that makes us feel good. It may be about doing work that we never would have imagined or we don't actually really like. But if that's what people in a certain place say they need and they need help with, then we can help do that. So, right, it's about long-term relationships. Needs are always going to be present. There's no one need any of us can fill, any one well we can dig, any one child we send to school that will solve all the problems of the world. We have to be in relationship as long as we're here. And that's sort of what we're aiming for, to build so that we know that we're together. I'll do that one too. Rue, welcome. Thank you, Jorge.
Thank you, Jill. I thought I would just like to add maybe another opportunity for people to come to South Africa, because I'm from South Africa. And our congregation is a long time established congregation, but we've been recently draw people from Congo Brazzaville and Congo. Some of them are on our church council at the moment. And we're also drawing local Africans from South Africa. And so the experience that one can have if you come to South Africa is also one that will be quite broad in terms of different cultures. And then we have actually a lot of people from all over the world come to South Africa, and when they know there's our church, they come and visit. And some of them actually can do charity work in Cape Town area. We've got one lady that's involved, our church chair. She's involved in a project where they have gardens in the townships. So there's all kinds of opportunities for one to engage also in Africa if you come to South Africa.
Thank you.
Yes, I must say I wanted to also say that I want to thank the ICUU because being South African and I've only lived in my own country. And through the ICUU, I had the opportunity to travel more to the northern parts and the middle parts of Africa. And also start to understand, because I always believe that it's only when you get to know a particular person in a country that you really know that place. Because suddenly then you have a different interest in it. And our trip to Burundi was very special in that regard. We made a lot of plans, and we're trying to forward them at that meeting. But in Africa, it's quite challenging because communication is not always easy. And most of the people that is involved with the work there are part-time. So they're also not full-time working in that regard. Maybe I can also just mention one of our congregation members, he's also on the church council, was a refugee in South Africa, and we helped him to get into the tourist industry. And he's actually going back to his own home country, which is Congo Brazzaville, in December. And there's groups there that he would like to go and meet and see whether he can also work further towards establishing Unitarianism in that country. Lots of things happening.
So it's another opportunity, in fact, for a kind of coalition to build. The ICUU brought together mostly people in ministerial leadership roles, leaders in their own countries on the African continent. And they deeply, deeply want to have an African ministerial conference. They want the connections, they want training, they want to see themselves as African Unitarian ministers in these many contexts. That's a huge undertaking, because almost nobody in most of the countries we work in can afford to travel all over the continent of Africa, not to mention bring together the kinds of training. And so we could help form a coalition of support for African ministers and find out what the needs are over years, and simply have other congregations in countries around the world being focused on the success of that, on African ministry.
Can I maybe just say
please.
Something about that? We in our congregation actually have two people that would like to become ministers. But we don't really have the resources to help them to train.
Right.
So what we did at the moment is we just linked them to the British Unitarians because they've got a lay leader program.
Right.
And they're in that lay leader program right now. But we don't really know where it's really going. We just started this process in the hope that, you know, one day we will be able to place them.
Right, exactly. And that's a huge part of the work of the ICUU, has been helping people around the world who want to train to be ministers, access varieties of kinds of training. Yes, go ahead, please.
My question is, what kind of congregational commitment makes the most sense for engagement? So we feel like I can find 10 people who are passionately interested in practically any issue that you raise. Is that sufficient to get engaged? Or are you looking for some kind of a more official and formal congregational commitment to be involved?
I say we're open. We're open to any kind of interest, commitment, because we're all learning along the way. So if 10 people in some congregation are really interested in being part of this coalition, and the coalition's work for 2 or 3 years until it morphs, that's great. We don't have a way to say this is how it's going to be, because we don't know exactly how it's going to be. It's going to be in the relationship. So 10 people want to come, let's be in the relationship and see what we can do together. That would be great. Jorge Villa over here wants me to notice that things are happening again since the U.S. relationships with Cuba are opening up, and there's a little more access now to getting to know those Unitarians. And Jorge has led some trips and is going to lead a few trips, and it's possible that this might be a new focus for coalition work, because that's really a group of people. Starting from scratch. So just so that you can get the picture that there are lots of opportunities to engage, to become part of one of these kinds of coalitions, and then see where we go. Yeah.
Jill, what I was pointing out is the one world, many planes.
Yes.
That in response to the fellow from Transylvania, North Carolina, is a mechanism whereby...
Yes. Yes. The ICUU, in honor of its 20th anniversary, is launching this year. We'll call this campaign One Faith, Many Flames, and we're aiming to get supporters. In fact, we would really like to get 100 UUA congregations to be able to say they know what the ICUU is. Really. They know that we are part of this global network of Unitarians around the world, and that they do something in their congregation to educate about these opportunities. I mean, we know there are lots of international opportunities through the UUA, the Partner Church Council, and the ICUU is a very specific thing. We're the organization that focuses on the health and viability of Unitarian organizations around the world. So if you would like to be part of that, and you would let your congregation be one of the 100 and help us to raise awareness and raise funds for this work, that would be spectacular. Thank you.
Yes, I also just wanted to add, there are various different ways. As we said, it's an approach rather than a model. And this is already happening in the Francophone and the Kenyan group. Some groups are very, very involved for over a long period. Some groups are involved for a short period. Some groups are able to be involved in a relationship like a congregational partnership. Indeed, some of the involvement in the Kenyan project is done in collaboration with the Partner Church Council, because there are some churches that are partners with some of these groups and also working with the coalition. There's the possibility of individuals learning more, of having special fundraising drives, of all kinds of opportunities, sometimes even hosting a visitor when, as Paul said, you know, they come to North America to learn more. So there's all kinds of opportunities. Do talk to us. And I just also also misunderstood what Jorge was going to talk about Cuba. I think it's just worth mentioning, because It's an example of the kind of collaboration that we stress in these principles. You will know that the partially because of the changing U.S. relationship with Cuba, things are opening up there. The ICUU is working through Jorge Villa and Jorge Espinal to go and make a visit to the Cubans to talk about development of Unitarian Universalism. At the same time, the College of Social Justice is looking at ways that it can be involved in various initiatives in Cuba. Some of, you know, Portland Church, various other groups are involved in Kenya. And again, we're not doing this in isolation. Indeed, Eric Cherry is chairing a meeting later in this conference where all of us that are working in various different ways in the changing situation in Cuba are getting together and trying to do joined up thinking.
Bob
not
Murphy
to,
and,
right? Absolutely, there are all kinds of things coming on, and the most important thing, and what we hope to stress by this approach, is to work together, to work in collaboration. We need each other, and we need each other to help and to be able to reach out to those who need us and want to be in dialogue with us around the world.
So, unless there are any other questions, yeah.
I'm interested to ask, and maybe it's not quite what you do, but what opportunities that there are for engagement more on the micro level. I mean, I, for instance, recently made an extended trip to Argentina, and before going there, I sort of like Googled and looked up, and I knew that there was some sort of international UU umbrella organization. I didn't find any sign of a congregation down there, and I also didn't find any immediate way, you know, any offering of an opportunity to make contact with any possible Unitarian individuals right. down there. So I didn't do anything about that, which I would have liked to. And I know I'm definitely interested in engaging in some of the bigger things that the ICUU does. But I, for instance, I have my own plans to go to Cuba with a friend sure. who's been going there for a long time, and I want to stay with him in the neighborhood with the people he knows. But while I'm there, I would love to yeah. make contact with some Unitarians.
Well, the ICUU doesn't really do the micro level. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not part of our purview. We really are working with organizations. And, you know, the individual contacts happen when people come together in meetings. But we don't do the kind of thing of, you know, who can you visit when you go around the world. So I'm just sorry to say it's not part of what we do.
Okay.
We're limited in the kinds of things we can do.
But that's precisely one of the opportunities to contact the International Office of the UUA. It's not always a situation where there is an organized opportunity or there is something specific. And sometimes it's important not to sort of behave in a way that suggests that something is going on that isn't ready yet. But in any time that individuals are interested, involved, the UUA has a lot of resources. There's a lot of material on the International Office's website, and they can steer you in good directions. And so, you know, please always contact Eric Cherry and Nicole McConvery of the UUA. What's the email address that they should write to, Eric? Okay, and those, and indeed, you know, the UUA International Office may in some cases steer you to an ICU program or to a College of Social Justice program. That is the good portal. We're happy to talk to you, and we'll do what we can, but your portal is through the UUA International Office.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming and for your interest, and I hope that we can stay in touch and that if you're interested in getting involved in this work, we're really looking forward to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Dave.
Thank you.
Jen, you're having a seat. Oh, right, gosh.
With Leon Hopper.
Oh, yes, yes, good old Leon.
Yeah, yeah, good. Anyway, something's happening later in the sessions.
Yes. Yes, well, this is particularly a meeting of leaders who are working, but there is stuff that's going to be coming out, and there are going to be opportunities. Is that an area you're interested in?
No, I just thought you mentioned a session here, but
I'm sure there'll be a session next year, if not before. Let me give you a card while you're
finished. And I want to get into the exhibition a lot. And Westside, we have a we were working with Torsko St. George. We have since 1991, I guess it was.
Great.
But we're going through a lot of. I'm doing capacity building on the village, et cetera. But so I'm trying to just get in my head all the opportunities. But the ICU is also what you're doing with this group. It's a whole new relationship. We need to be in a relationship with our Torrance Mosley Church. And we need to be in a relationship with these things. So,
great. All right. Well, if we can be useful, you know, drop me an email or call me up and I'll grab you. Okay?
Great.
Have you had my contact?
Two seconds,
I'll be ready.
How are you feeling about that?
Good.
I continue to be astonished at how you and I can just sort of improvise off each other.
Well, we can, but now I'm thinking we should probably run it by each other a little bit more.
So I found it really important.
Saying is that as the service.